This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
So you want some of that pork chop, dude?
That looks so good. That, and you know who sells pork chops like that? Is Fresh Market. They got
they
nice, plump pork chops.
Yes,
you know?
This is center cut bone in, and because it's okay now to cook pork at a lower temperature, serve it at a lower temperature, which I know still bothers some people.
It bothers Daryl.
Yeah, it bothers Barbara a little bit. I said you're gonna have these at 145 degrees. I talked to Chef Patrick Hall about this last week. He said even 130, 135 is where he cooks them. So he says anything over that is pretty much well done. You don't need to do that anymore because the trichinosis issue that a lot of the farms had is gone. It's just, you know, it's like polio. It's just not in the radar anymore. So I'm cooking it like beef now. I'm searing it real hot at the beginning.
That looks so good.
Send really
it to
was.
Me and I'll put it on the website.
Oh, okay.
On the Food for Thought website.
Yeah, it's Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, spiceblends.com, one of our sponsors. And I'll tell you what, her stuff is great.
Well, listeners, when you see this picture of the pork chop, you'll be able to go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike Facebook or foodforthoughtnh.com, and that looks really – I want to go buy a pork chop for tonight. You know what we ate last night? Yeah, we ate at Johnny Troy's. Actually, we can talk about this a little after because I think
we'll have a little time.
We will have some time before Julie
Ruth
comes.
Ruth wants to talk about chili and not pork chops, I think.
Probably. I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Ruth. How are you?
Hey, Carol. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Ruth. Ruth Zacks is kind of getting everybody all pumped up and ready to go for the big fundraiser. Is it Fire on the Mountain, right?
Fire on the Mountain, Chili Fest.
Yes.
Yeah, it's our 13th annual.
Wow. It's for the Henniker Rotary at Pat's Peak, and it's Sunday, the 23rd. And, boy, you've really changed the whole setup this year, and I think it's going to make for a better experience. Explain how it's different from what it's been the last 12 years.
Well, the last 12 years, all of the chili makers have been inside the two ski lodges. Professionals have been in one building, amateurs in another. And because the crowds have gotten larger and larger every year, those buildings have gotten very crowded. The lines have gotten very long. And Pat's Peak said to us, you know, you could use more of the base of the mountain and bring everybody outside, and it would be a far better experience. So they've helped us reconfigure everything this this year, and all of the chili makers are going to be outside in tents. The judges, that's you and Chef Nicole and Rick Broussard, are going to be in the little gazebo outdoors, and all of the activities are going to take place outside. So we've really redone the entire configuration so that there won't be any lines, hopefully. And this is a real shakeout event for us. We're trying something totally different.
It's a great idea, but does it make you a little bit nervous? It must.
Well, yeah, because the details, even though the chili makers are going to be in tents, if it rains, the attendees are going to be outside. So
yeah, we can deal with some rain. It's the windswept rain that really would be the much deal with anything else.
You know what? Right. I'm looking ahead in the future, and August 23rd is going to be absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Kevin Skorupa.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
Yep. I'm telling you, it is. I can
actually
see
I have a couple of posters for you, Carol. One for the Red Arrow and one from Midtown Cafe. I've got to get those to you at some point. So
I would be more than happy to hang them up, definitely.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to seeing you and Mike. And we've got some really nice activities going on this year at the Kids Zone. We've got some laser tag and a basketball set up and, of course, the giant slide. And then White Birch is going to be doing lots of crafts. And we've got that tap snap thing, which is the I call it a photo booth for the 21st century.
Oh, those are fun. You see those all over the place now.
Yeah.
They're very fun. Yep.
And we also, of course, have the car cruise in. So all we need, and Mike's Infinity Cookies, Chew Hampshire's participating. what we really need is chili makers. I don't know what's happening out there, but it's been very slow. We've got 14 amateurs registered, and we usually have over 20, And we've got promises from 9 restaurants, but only 5 confirmations. So we usually have 10 to 12 restaurants. So we're really looking for some more chili makers.
Well, we got to get that word out there. And, you know, listeners out there, you can also go to their Facebook page, Fire on the Mountain, and like their Facebook page for any updates. And is that a way that they can contact you as well, Ruth?
Absolutely. Or they can go to our website.
Chili New Hampshire.
www.chilinewhampshire.org. Or they can call our chili chairman, our chili czar, Mary Kratzer, and her, let's see, she's at, oh gosh, I don't have it in front of me. But,
you know what, most people will probably go to their computer, you know.
Right.
If they can find you guys by Facebook.
So
or,
she's Ms. Kratzer, Krotzer, @yahoo.com.
There you go. All right.
So, she's the chili chairperson, huh?
Yeah, she's the chili czar.
All right, so, you know, as one who's participated in various food competitions, the real fun is the camaraderie of meeting the other cooks, seeing how they do it, and tasting each other's, and just making friends. And if you happen to win an award or a ribbon or, in this case, some cash, so much the better. But it is just the whole experience of a big food event and thousands of people coming to enjoy it.
It's a lot of fun, and, it, you know, Pat's Peak is just a glorious place to be in the summer. The grounds are beautiful. The facility is gorgeous. Everybody's very accommodating, and it's a lot of fun. And we need people to make chili.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's say that I was interested in making chili. So what would I need to do? I'd need to go to chilinewhampshire.org.
Right, and you can download an application. It costs $15.
Okay.
And for amateur chili makers, which is what we're really looking for right now,
which would be me.
Yeah, so it would be 4 gallons of chili.
Okay.
And you fill out your form and prepare 4 gallons of chili. We provide all the tasting cups and the spoons. There's a pre-chili meeting the Tuesday before Chili Fest to kind of get everybody on the same page. We're going to hand out carrying buckets because everything's going up on the hill, up on the mountain. We don't want you to have to carry all of that chili and all of your supplies up. So Pat's Peak is going to use the Komodos and transport everybody up onto the hill. And,
that's nice.
And everybody will have a little tent and their space to make their chili and decorate because there's 2 contests. There's the chili contest of judging the chili, but there's also a best booth decoration contest. So we're looking for people to jazz up their booth so they can compete in that way as well.
You have people that have come from many miles away, other parts of the country, to participate in this very, very fun event. I think Nashville rings a bell. Any other places?
Yeah, we've had one winner in the past from Nashville. I'm not sure if he's coming this summer, but we've got one of our winners last year was from New Jersey, and he's entered again. I heard you talking about pork chops earlier. His chili is called New Pork State of Mind.
Oh, that's cool.
He's coming in again, and he enters every year. Last year was the first year he won. He won the People's Choice Award and a Judge's Award. So he's one of the guys to beat this year.
So when they travel up here, where do they, like, do they go to, what do they use somebody's kitchen, or how does that, like?
Well, he's staying with relatives.
Okay, okay. So,
in the
okay.
area, and they make the chili, yeah.
There you go.
And we've got a couple of folks coming from Massachusetts and quite a few people from different parts of the state. Somebody coming from Dover this year for the first time. So we've got folks coming from all over.
How long does the tasting go on for, Ruth?
It's we open the doors at noontime, and the tasting will continue to 3:30. And then we'll, you know, put all the ballots together and announce the winners at 4:30. You can continue to taste even after the balloting ends. You know, you can keep tasting until 4:30.
Now, the home cooks, now, how do they, like, what do they heat their beans up in? Do they have, you know, shaping dishes and stuff like that? Like,
well,
the...
we ask everybody to make their chili beforehand, and then to use the chafing dishes and sterno.
There you go. Okay.
Because there is no there's no electricity on the mountain like there might have been if somebody wanted to use crock pots or something electrical.
Right. We discourage crock pots. We've discouraged crock pots for a couple of years because using all of those extensions in the buildings blows fuses.
Right.
Sure.
So
very good point.
So we've gone to kind of mandating that everybody use those aluminum chafing dishes and sterno.
Right.
And we'll provide them if people don't have them.
Now, there is, you know, I just kind of touched on this lightly, but I think people should know there are cash awards, correct?
There are. For all the amateurs, there are cash awards. The first, in the judges, we have, it's kind of two contests. There's the judges first, second, and third place winners, and then there's the People's Choice winner. So the People's Choice winner and the first place judges winner in the amateur division each would get $350. The second place winner in the judges award would get $200. Third place winner gets $100. The restaurants get bragging rights and a really colorful banner to display in their restaurants for a year. I know the Red Arrow had it 1 year, Carol. So
very nice.
So
yeah,
I went over.
Great looking banners, and Ruth even brings a tie with jalapeno peppers on it for me to wear every year.
That's right, and an apron for the female judges. Yes.
Yes, Chef Nicole, and you know, one of our regulars on the show, Linda Thompson Ditch, was a judge 1 or 2 years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. She wrote a column for, was it Hippo?
The Hippo.
Yeah.
She was the food writer.
She's in Kansas now. She's living in Topeka, Kansas, but we stay in touch with her. And she reminded me of that, and I'd almost forgotten in my feebleness that she sat next to me 1 year.
We've had great judges. You and Nicole have been staples, but we've had Josh Judge and Kevin Scarupa, and Rick Broussard is this year. We've been very fortunate to have some great foodies as our, you know, as our judges.
Well, you do a really good job, and it's a nice day to be a part of. So I never feel like it's an imposition at all. So let's give the basic details again before we say goodbye, and most importantly, how these home cooks or restaurants can get in touch so they can be a part of Fire on the Mountain.
Okay, so the basics are Sunday, August 23rd. From noon to 4:30, we're asking the chili makers to show up by 10:30 so that they're ready to go by noontime. In order to download from the website, you go to www.chilinewhampshire, you spell out newhampshire.org, and the applications are right there. Or you can email our chili czar, Mary Krotzer, at mskrotzer, K-R-O-T-Z-E-R, at yahoo.com. And we really are looking for some more chili makers, and it's $15 to enter.
Do you need more vendors at this point, or are you all set there?
We could use a few more vendors.
Okay.
We have 18 vendors so far, which is a good number. But because we've got more space this year, we could use 3 or 4 more vendors, I think.
Well, maybe we can put a shout out.
It's like a little farmer's market type of thing, you know, with the tents, and it's a very personal one-on-one.
Yeah.
You meet the people that make the crafts or the food or whatever it is. I'm thinking of bringing, in addition to cookies, my chocolate infinity zucchini cake, and I've been working on a lemon pound cake similar to what you get at Starbucks.
Yum.
And so those may be the three that I'm going to bring along. I have no idea how much to make. I mean, you just don't know. What do you get, about 1,500 people usually show up for this?
Between 1,500 and 2,000. I think 1,800 last year.
Yeah.
So you would sell those items, right?
I would, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct.
Just price them right, Mike. Price
them right. Yeah, I think $8 for a cookie is reasonable, don't you, Ruth? You have them.
Whoa.
I only have to bake seven to break even.
There you go.
Ours are for free. Ours are free.
Oh, yours are free?
Yours and mine.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm a comp, you ladies.
Carol, will you be joining us? I hope you will.
I'm sure that I will be there. It sounds like a really
good.
Fun time.
It's awesome.
I may enlist you to help judge the best booth.
Oh, there you go. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, because I have two other judges for the best booth presentation, and I'm looking for a third. So I can't have you judge chili because you're entering the chili contest, but certainly the best booth decoration we could have you look at.
There you go. I'd be honored.
She has a very good decorating sense, so I think she'd be an asset
there.
All right. Then I'm going. All right.
Cool.
Well, I guess that's it, Ruth. Thank you so much for bringing us up today. We wanted to get the word out so we could get a few more chili makers in both categories to get things going. Fire on the Mountain for the Henniker Rotary is coming up on Sunday the 23rd. Pat's Peak in Henniker, New Hampshire. And Carol and I will both see you there.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Ruth. See you in a few
weeks. Have
a
great afternoon.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right.
So you're in.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
Yeah, we can. We come back, and I think you had something you wanted to chat about, and I got all kinds of stuff to catch up on.
Yeah, we do. We'll be good. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Mike and I are going to chat when we come back, and then we'll be joined with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It is 1:29. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin here. Food for Thought, our final half hour. We're here Monday through Friday between noon and 2, covering all things food, no matter what the relationship is. And we're also brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack. Talk about the best barbecue in New Hampshire. That's the place. Famous Hickory Smoked, award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manch. Ribshack.net. Also, Mama McDonough's Irish Pub at 5 Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. You can find them on Facebook. Looking at the weather radar is seeing some storms that are bubbling up. I would say probably maybe 20 to 30 miles west of Manchester, heading up toward Concord. So it's not a huge storm, but it looks like it could. It looks like there's a severe thunderstorm watch in a few areas.
Yeah, Daryl. J-Dog has here from the Storm Watch 9 Weather Center. Cheshire.
Yeah.
I never can
like the
say
Cheshire
that
cat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cheshire.
Yes. So
Hillsboro, Merrimack, and Sullivan County. These are under a severe thunderstorm warning until 1:30. Oh, well, until now.
Well, yeah, but guess what? There's still storms out there, so the watches may be down or the warnings may be down. But there's definitely something going on heading toward where? Goffstown. I don't think Manchester's going to get this particular one I'm looking at, but there are others brewing in Massachusetts that are moving northeast. So we're going to be in the crosshairs for much of the afternoon, as predicted by Channel 9 and Kevin Skorupa.
Here we go. All right. Well, you know, we were talking about Daryl before and repairing stone.
Your guy, your boyfriend,
yeah. My guy. Mm-hmm. My guy.
Yes.
So he gave me a list of what he does, what he can repair with granite.
Because so many people have granite countertops at home. And I think they would find it useful.
Yeah. Repolishing, hone, crack repairs, caulking, sealing, shaping, remounting sinks, seam repairs, chips, edge polishing and shaping, cutting and design.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And I'm thinking, you know, what possibly could go wrong with granite? Well, not all that is wrong, but you know, definitely tidying
people,
up.
People, you know, never know. So there we go. You can contact me at foodforthoughtnh.com.
Does he have an LLC for this yet?
He does not yet. But you know what? As I'm talking on the break, I was texting back and forth with my graphic girl, Helen Ryba. And she's
working. Does your graphics?
Oh, yeah. She does some of my graphics.
Okay.
And she's working on his business cards and a logo as we speak. So I've been going back and forth with her now.
I think Granite Hunk would be the name of his.
Granite Hunk. I love it. Oh, my gosh, that's cool.
Google right now to see if granitehunk.com is taken.
Yeah, that is really
cool.
And then
file your LLC right away because somebody will say, huh.
Granite Hunk. Granite Hunk Repair.
Yeah. Well, that would mean that he'd need to be fixed. So,
Okay, the Stormwatch weather warning is till 2:15.
Till 2:15. All right, that doesn't surprise me because there's a lot of stuff going on. Meanwhile, Carol is putting into her URL granitehunk.com.
Better get that now before someone takes it, as you had mentioned before, Mike. But yeah, this storm watch is going to be going on pretty much through almost 7 o'clock tonight, more or less.
Yeah, and a lot of storms that haven't even formed yet will be on the horizon. So you're right, J-Dog. Yeah. It's with us. It's just that kind of day with the wind direction and the content of the moisture in the air and all that stuff. So we don't get enough storms around here. Although sadly, there was a horrible tragedy last night. Upstate, Coos County, at the circus, the collapse of the circus tent that took two lives.
Awful.
And, so.
Lancaster?
Yes, thank you. Yep. It was Lancaster. So, anyway, do keep an eye to the sky. You know, we always say that. We always beat it into your heads. Keep an eye to the sky. Or if you hear it, what's the word? Something about thunder roaring. I forget. There's a little slogan about that, too.
Oh, I don't know.
It means you're
going
to be hit by lightning if it's nearby.
Well, I have a front porch, and I love sitting on my front porch. It's like now it's our backyard, but I have a really nice front porch. I have a cute front porch. It's like farmer's porch, you know? You have it decorated and stuff. It's cute. And I love nothing more than sitting on it in a thunderstorm. It is so cool.
Somebody was doing that a couple of weeks ago somewhere in New Hampshire, and thunder hit a tree, and then lightning hit a tree, traveled down, and then up onto the porch, and created some havoc with a little boy and I think a mom or something. So it could happen.
You know what, Mike? When it's your time, it's your time.
Oh.
And it's already in the works when your time is your time. So
you know what? Well, that may be, but you can also have a little something to do with when your time comes.
I guess so, but that's I don't know. Anyway.
Let's have some fun here. As far as snacks go, somebody put together a list of their favorite lazy snacks. I mean, for me, it would just be going to the pantry and pulling out some Cape Cod chips, probably. Yeah, you're right. That would be it. But there's some other people that have put a little more thought into it than I have. Mm. And I found this on a website. It was kind of in the comment section following a story about what people like to pick for their lazy snacks. A woman by the name of Megan says, sometimes I reach into my fridge, messily peel down the wrap around a block of cheddar cheese, and take a large bite.
Ooh.
She says, slicing cheese is way too much effort. I can't say I've ever taken a bite out of a chunk of cheese and wrapped it up and put it back in the fridge.
That's kind of yucky.
That's nasty.
That is.
That's like drinking out of the milk carton and then putting back for the rest of your family to get your backwash.
You know, it's so funny. Tyler used to do that. But I'd allow him to do it at the end of the gallon.
Oh, you would? Okay.
You know, at the end, it'd be like this much left. And
yeah.
I have this picture of him. He just has his little Pampers on. And
oh, jeez.
It's so cute.
He's wearing Pampers, and he's drinking out of a 2-gallon jug of milk.
He was probably like 2 or something.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just sitting there. Whew, it's so cute.
Wow. all right, Daniela's favorite lazy snack comment is, on the 4th of July, I woke up at 9 a.m., went to the store, purchased Lay's potato chips and some off-brand onion dip, and had it for breakfast. It felt right.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
I've never heard that for breakfast.
Yeah.
No.
I'm with you, J-Dog.
Mm-mm. The onion dip, no. Potato chips?
Potato chips, maybe.
You scramble them into an omelet of some sort, perhaps.
Maybe with like a little topping.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
With the cheese melted on the top. Oh, well, you might have something.
Might be onto something, yeah. All right. Aaron says, as far as lazy snacks, a true lazy snack is one that comes directly out of the bag. No preparation necessary. Ruffles, sour cream, and cheddar potato chips. If I'm feeling slightly less lazy, I will open a bag and a tub and add prepackaged French onion dip to said chips. So she's ambitious. She'll add the dip. Aaron says, my office lunch is often a 75-cent bag of pork rinds from the vending machine and a Diet Coke. Sometimes I add sriracha to the rinds to feel more gourmet.
Did you ever taste those?
The pork rinds? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a Super Bowl snack.
Yeah, I can definitely see you doing the pork rind thing.
Do you like those, J-Dog?
Yeah, I do.
I tried them. I did not like
You didn't
them
like
at
them
all.
At all, huh?
No.
I don't have them all the time, so.
I'm not even sure what it is or what. I know what they look like, and they're crunchy and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they are either.
What's inside the batter? What's
I
inside
guess
the
I
crunch?
I don't know what they are.
Maybe lard.
Must be some
lard. Okay.
I hope
I'm
not.
In now.
Yeah.
Matthew says, my mom used to give me a bowl of rice with torn up slices of American cheese topped with soy sauce after school. I still dream about those. A bowl of rice and American
I wonder
American
if it's
cheese.
A nightmare.
Yeah, he's in therapy right now. And finally, from Favorite Lazy Snacks, peanut butter, smooth, not organic, and pickles, spicy dill on white bread.
Peanut butter and pickles.
See, that sounds like a whole maybe pregnancy craze.
I was going to say, do you eat that when you're pregnant or not? Yeah,
I know. Oh, that's those were interesting.
Yeah, and there was a bunch more, but those are the ones that I thought were the most interesting. And we were just talking about potato chips, right? And I cut this out.
We talk about potato chips a lot.
Well, we do, and I apologize, but
it's all good.
I think most people probably, to some degree, like potato chips.
Oh yeah,
look at the big selection you got in the store. That means people are buying them. All right, so remember when you were a kid and you'd throw potato chips into your sandwiches? Did you ever do that, Carol?
I did. I did a lot.
Remember how awesome that feeling was when you'd bite into it and hear the crunch? Turns out there is a sandwich shop in the UK that specializes in just that. It's called Mr. Crisp. Customers can create their own customizable sandwiches. Choices include 50 types of chips, toppings, spreads, breads, and other sandwich-related ingredients. Sounds like one of those froyo places, right? You ever been to one of those frozen yogurt places?
Yes, I love those.
Those are cool, but they're so expensive.
They are.
According to The Mirror, which is the paper in London, owner Mark Pearson felt the mushy, crunchy sensation of a chip-stuffed sandwich. He felt it was undervalued in the UK, and after 6 months of developing the idea, he decided to go for it. Mr. Crisp just celebrated its grand opening and welcomed hundreds of customers on the first day. So there you go. I'm not sure how that would play over here. It seems too easy, almost.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking right here for the cafe. She always comes up with these funky, different sandwiches every day, and they have chips for their side. She could come up with a sandwich and put some chips in it. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be different kinds of chips, of course.
Right.
But
you might he's got a website or something. Give you some ideas that you could borrow for the Midtown Cafe.
There you go.
Because I mean, unlike the Red Arrow, you can perhaps experiment a little more easily here than you can there.
We experiment quite a bit at the Red Arrow. They do. You know, when we have like a certain, you know, the cooks can be creative. They can on certain items. If we have like a leftover something, they can turn it into something else if they'd like, or you know. So they can be a little creative, but you're right. Most of the stuff is, you know, pretty much set.
Otherwise,
but we have specials every day, and we have specials every week, and, you know.
Now, the girls upstairs, are they into, like, trying different
stuff? Oh, yeah. Brittany up there is great.
Yeah.
She comes up with all kinds of different sandwiches all the time and different soups and...
Well, I've loved the two panini sandwiches the last couple days.
Yeah, those were good.
The vegetable paninis with the provolone and the pesto spread.
Yeah, her pesto is really good. She made that homemade. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good.
For someone
good.
That never cooked, she's pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, she's got a feel for it.
Yeah,
I mean, she's got a great kitchen to work in, which helps, too.
Yeah. Well, it's a little small. But,
yeah. Well, you know, start small.
Look at the Red Arrow. Tiny
well, I've never been in the back there, but, you know, it's such a small, you know, front of the house. I just can only imagine how cramped it is.
Very tiny, but that's why it works at the Red Arrow.
Really?
Yes.
No wasted space, right? Everything.
Oh, I wanted to tell you what we went to eat last night, because we actually talked about that. Mm-hmm. I talked about this with the owner. His name is Joe, and he talked about opening up next door. He said his wife wants to, but he says, you know, I just don't think it's a good thing. I said, you're right, because bigger isn't better. He's having a problem because he's too busy.
Who's this now?
Johnny Troy's.
I've told
you about Johnny Troy's.
Refresh my memory.
They're at the Triangle Mall, past other Italian chain
near the restaurant.
Is it down past Olive Garden?
Okay, near the airport.
You go straight past Olive Garden, and bump right into it.
Johnny Troy's
Italian.
I've driven by there a million times. I've never gone in that plaza.
The best Italian food you will ever
have.
Oh my gosh! And it's not fancy at all.
Mm-hmm.
It is not fancy. At nighttime, they do have service. During the day, you go up, you order, and then, you know, or you call it in. When we were there last night, there was tons of people coming in getting orders to go.
Really?
And they have a true Sicilian pizza, and they have authentic thin crust pizza. They have calzones, but their dinners are to die for. They really are. Like, Daryl was like, I want to get the veal, but it's probably not going to be real veal. I said, it is real veal. Well, you know, they have, like, the frozen patties will use, you know. Mm-hmm. No, he has all – and they make arancinis. Do you know what arancinis are? Oh my gosh, you don't know what an arancini
is?
Well,
I'm trying to picture
it. It's a risotto ball. Okay, it's risotto, and there's different kinds of arancini.
Right. I haven't had it.
Joe has two different kinds. He has one; it's risotto mixed with cheese. I don't recall the cheese, but one of them has hamburg mixed in it too.
Oh.
And then they put a batter on it, and they deep fry it, and then serve it with his marinara sauce. And his marinara sauce is, you know, goes back to his grandfather's sauce.
Right.
And then the other one had spinach and risotto in it with cheese, and then deep fry it out. So good. Amazing.
See, I'm trying to figure out how to deep fry stuff at home. I don't want to do it in the kitchen. It's just, it's a mess. But I do have the outside stuff. I got the big green egg. I could get some kind of a big metal pot, right? Fill it with oil. I mean, what am I going to do? What are my options?
Well, I don't have a fry later. My father has. He has a fry later in his kitchen.
Right.
He has it built right into the counter.
Yeah, I don't really have the room, and I'm not that dedicated. I don't want to have the opportunity to make that much fried food.
He doesn't very
But
often,
I'd like to experiment with some of the weird stuff that I'm reading about.
Well, they have those portable ones that you can get.
Fry babies?
Yeah, they do. And there are some that are a little bit bigger, and they're not that much money.
Yeah, that's true.
You can use that.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. I was just thinking the big green egg would have so much room for something a little bit bigger.
I think it would be easier with like a little fry baby thing.
Yeah. At least to start.
Yeah.
To see if I like
it.
Because there's some stuff I really want to try. And So maybe I will. They still sell fry babies?
I think so. They must. You know, the internet here is not good down when we're in this box here.
Right.
So I would look it up for you right now, but I couldn't look up Granite Hunk.
Oh. Well, I'm going to – we should probably take a break.
Yes, we do. Julie should be popping down the stairs any second now.
She's probably very busy getting the big rafting fundraiser
ready.
Well,
they probably are busy.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to look it up for you, though, on the phone versus the internet.
Okay, try that. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back. Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We are into our final few moments of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Today being brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. Kale & Company underway in just a few moments. And Red Arrow Diners of Manchester, Milford, and Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Carol?
There we go. Yes, it is Tuesday, and it is our segment with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And you guys have a huge event starting tomorrow.
We are so excited.
You should see her in here.
We're bouncing off the walls. We're so excited about it. You know, and so imagine, you know, 9 staff members kind of bumping off walls, and we've got the whole place is full of volunteers, and we're running around trying to get all the last minute stuff done, but just with, you know, so much excitement.
Yes. So all of you must be heading up there first thing in the morning,
we
and this
are.
Is going to be in Meredith.
Yeah. So it's going to be
Heskey Park.
Yep, at Heskey Park. So that's the park right downtown in Meredith.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be right in the center of things. And we've even got a big sign. So as you come down the hill into Meredith, you won't be able to miss this huge, big lighted sign that says Make-A-Wish Rafting. So that everybody knows what it's all about. We were up there putting that together last night. And then we had, you know, Airy Marine and Watermark Marine and Miles Marine all there yesterday. And we're scoping it out. And we're actually going to put some temporary docks up. And have boats that are going to, you know, the boats to get people out on the rafts so it'll be a little bit easier for people this year. So we were scoping it all out and getting ready yesterday. And so tomorrow morning we start 8 a.m. getting everything ready.
You've got some really good weather the next couple of days.
Oh,
just so you know.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Which is nice because we had to battle some, you know, some thunderstorms last year, and that wasn't nearly as much fun. I mean, for all of us on shore, we kind of, you know, went into a tent, but it wasn't all that much fun.
Carol has a death wish. She sits on her front porch during thunderstorms, so we might be able to get her out there.
I love that. I just love it.
Well, being up there last night when the storm came across Winnipesaukee, it was actually beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
But there were some boats on the lake that were cruising as fast as they could to beat the storm. And there was this one boat that was, you know, it was, I swear, 5 minutes ahead of the storm the whole way across the lake. Kind of
That can be scary.
Well, the weather's going to be good. And again, I remember back, you know, when this Rafting for Wishes or whatever it was called then began. And I'm seeing that you've got entertainment, fireworks. So it is something that will draw people other than just staring at people on rafts.
Right, right. So what we've done is we've made it into a whole event for families and for the raft teams. So we'll have the big opening ceremonies tomorrow afternoon at 3. And then from there, there will be movies. We've got the big blow-up screen from Meredith from the city, and we'll be, you know, showing a movie right there in Heskey Park and all kinds of different activities on land and for those that are out rafting. And the way it works is that there are all these teams, and the teams may have 10 or 15 people on them. So people are coming and going off the raft. So if they're not on the raft, they can hang out on shore and be part of the activities with all the spectators. As well as doing the stuff on the raft.
So the teams have so many members, and they kind of go back and forth.
Right, so it's kind of like a relay. But we do have a couple of people that are doing all 44 hours. So you can choose whether you kind of want to be on a relay team or whether you want to do the whole 44 hours yourself or not.
Oh, now, so you have a couple of those people. Are they going to sleep?
Yeah, so let's see if I can describe this. You can imagine. So we have one huge raft, and it's in the middle. And then off that huge raft, there are all these little rafts. And those are kind of made up so that everybody can go in and sleep at night if they want to. You know,
yeah,
or they can hang out.
You've got covers on them, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so they're, you know, so if people want to even take a nap during the middle of the day, mm-hmm. get out of the sun, you know, whatever. And they're all attached to the bigger raft and all around it. And each team has their own little individual raft that they can go on if they, you know, need some quiet time. You know?
So what about,
it gets a little too overwhelming.
Does Domino's deliver pizza if somebody wanted to?
Yeah, deliver to the raft.
Yeah. We did do that last year.
Well, sure. I mean, people need to eat, keep their energy up.
You know, we'll be bringing pizza out to the rafters.
That's awesome.
You know, in the evening, and you know, coffee in the morning, and you know, a lot of the rafters, you know, bring their own food mm-hmm. and different snacks and different things that they want out there. And you know, so Thursday night is going to be the big fireworks celebration, and there'll be everything, all the usual suspects of face painting and you know, making t-shirts and a lot of bands.
I'm reading that. Some entertainment and stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds so fun.
Yeah, everything from, you know, baton twirling performances to, you know, the Funky Dogs, which they are, I guess, this amazing, amazing band.
I'm wondering if our own J-Dog is a part of this band, because it spells D-A-W-G-Z.
They do.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
J-Dog, are you going to be like moonlighting on Thursday?
Or moonwalking?
Oh, you didn't hear us?
You're not in the music group The Funky Dogs, are you?
I'm not, no.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Well, you should be.
Well, okay.
All right, just leave me alone. I'm trying to eat my sandwich here. All right, so is it possible for people still to make a donation, support one of the teams, and how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. So they can go right on to our website at wish.org. They can come down, or we actually have a Rafting for Wishes site that they can go on as well. They can go right on our Facebook page, and all the information is there. And so that's the idea now. So, you know, we've got all these teams, and their goal is to raise as much money as they can, and there'll be lots of prizes for the team that raises the most money. So they're all going to be shouting out to all their family and friends and the community to support their particular team.
Okay, I get it.
So you can go on our Facebook page and get the list of the teams. And you can find out, you know, and each team has a wish buddy, which is a wish child that they're supporting. And so they've been doing all this, you know, bonding and kind of building the excitement between all the wish teams and their wish buddies too.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so that's the whole goal. So they'll be doing that over the next couple of days.
Very fun.
So people can drop by and see it and different things. And, you know, if you're around on Thursday, we can make you a movie star and everything, because we've got a young man from Lakes Region Photography who's actually going to do a drone overpass video for us.
That is cool.
So stay tuned for that. That's going to be really neat.
That is really, you know, that's like the up and coming
thing.
This looks
like a drone shot. Your photo that is on your flyer almost looks like it could be a drone shot.
And that was a still one. We'll probably do a couple more of those this year as well. We've got a couple of people doing flyovers with helicopters, taking some pictures.
That center raft, everybody sits around the edge. It looks like it holds 15 or 20 people, and there's two people in the middle. It looks like they're getting ready to wrestle or something. I can't really tell what's going on.
That must have been
there.
Some game that was going on.
Yeah. And then all the little rafts, I call them satellite rafts, that are around the edge for the individual teams. So
very fun.
And some of the rafters even, you know, dress up in kind of a theme. You know, watching the firefighters all last year dress up as princesses because their wish buddy wanted to go to Disney and be a princess.
That was cool. Priceless.
That was absolutely priceless.
That's cool.
Well, our time is up, unfortunately, for the hour. But tomorrow around 12:30, we'll talk to you or some other folks there as it's getting set to start.
That sounds wonderful.
Sounds great. Kale and Company's up next, everybody, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.